Are you ready, Amanda?
I'm ready.
I knew you were trouble when you walked in, so shame on me now.
Do you just improv those?
Fully.
I don't know how you're so good at it.
Like, maybe 3 seconds before we go, I think about our topic, and then I just pick a song.
I love it every time.
Thanks. I really should have been a pop star.
You will be. There's still time.
Oh, no, there's not. I'm an old woman, seriously.
Only 20-something.
Only 20-something. We're talking about red flags and toxic relationships today on the behest of one of our listeners, Christine.
Thanks, Christine.
Yeah, so this is our very first listener request, and we are hyped up.
So hyped.
Yeah.
And we're going to take the request.
We're going to take it, and we're going to take it seriously, and we're going to take it to heart, and we're going to take it to the moon and back. So Christine has been one of my very good friends since we were
grade nine.
So Christine, I know all about Christine's love life, and she knows all about my love life. And Christine and I suffer from a similar issue, which is giving people the benefit of the doubt too much, I think, to the point where they hurt you over and over and over again.
So and maybe not knowing they were trouble when they walked in.
Exactly. So Christine reached out, and she listens to the podcast, and she likes the podcast, and she said, could you guys talk about this topic? Because I would love to get some advice and some inspiration. And Amanda and I were like, so hyped.
We're here for you.
We are here for you. We are not experts necessarily at relationships, but we've learned a little bit in our time on this earth.
And this is true. And we're happy to talk about it.
Yeah. And this is definitely a relatable topic for girls and boys in their 20s, because most people have seen some shit when it comes to relationships by this point. Like, by your mid-20s, you've had some experiences, you've had some heartbreaks.
For sure.
So hopefully you will get some sort of entertainment or enlightenment from this podcast today. Yeah. So essentially what Christine wanted us to discuss is, maybe we should break it up into like little categories. So she said she wanted us to talk about how to move on after a breakup and how to feel open with someone new if you're still hung up on someone else. She wanted us to talk about what are potential red flags versus what are signs of a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
And then I think
what to do on a new first date or when you're getting into the dating game again.
And then I think just how to get over people and how to potentially put yourself at the forefront when you're so hung up on someone else. So I have so much to say on this topic, but I'm going to try not to dominate because my mother calls me out on it every week. She's my biggest fan and my harshest critic. She's like, you keep
talking. That's true love, though.
Oh, absolutely. And I just take it with a grain of salt now because she's right. I do talk over people all the time, and I need to work on that. So do you want to start us off?
I can start us off.
Yeah, go for it.
I'll ask you some questions first.
Oh, I'd love that.
About the topic, and then we'll take it from there. It always just, you know,
gosh,
it snowballs.
Amanda, I hate talking about myself. Like, what am I going to say?
Good one.
Just kidding.
Oh, good one. Okay, so Sarah, have you had some toxic relationships?
I don't know if I'd say toxic. I've had some heartbreaks for sure. I've had some major miscommunications, different expectations of where something's going. So we end up but I would say I actually do have relatively respectful, fond feelings for all of my ex-partners, which is rare. Like, I've never been cheated on. I've never been called names. I've never been abused in any way, which is I'm very privileged that I can say that. I've had very decent partners. I think the biggest issue for me is just maturity levels.
Okay.
They were all great guys, truly. Like, I truly loved all of them, including the first one, even though I have more to say about the first guy that I fell in love with. But still a good person. Like, I truly believe he was a good person. just, he was in a very different place than I was, and he wanted different things, and he saw his life differently. And then the second relationship, he was more ready. He was older than I was in this case, and he was more ready for commitment and to settle down, and I was not. So we were in different places maturity-wise. And then the third relationship, a similar thing, where we really liked each other and cared about each other, but just the circumstances and the timing were not ideal. So it's almost harder to get over someone when it's not a obviously toxic, destructive, bad relationship, because you don't have that concrete reason to say we're done. Like, if someone cheats on you, if someone pushes you, if someone calls you name, it gives you that tangible, like, fuck you. Like, I mean, it's not this easy, but it's, if someone's a great person and you love them, it's just the maturity is different, or the, it's harder to fully move on because you kind of keep going back and thinking, oh, well, now the situation's different, so what could happen? Or now we're 2 years older, so I wonder how we'd get along now. It's easier to fill in the blanks with more optimism versus if someone truly screws you over in kind of an unforgivable way, it's easier to just close the door and move on, I think. So
I get what you're saying.
I've never experienced toxic relationships. And to be quite honest, which we're going to be honest on this podcast, I am the toxic one in relationships.
That's hilarious. I was going to joke about that.
Oh, for sure.
But because I'm like, oh, okay. So,
oh, I'm fucked up.
How come all your exes are so great? But no.
No, like, I just, it's the same thing I talked about.
But it's a joke. It's a joke.
Oh, no, I am so toxic. And I, at least I'm aware of it. And I've made a lot of progress. Like, I used to do, I thought, and I still operate this way a little bit, but I'm working on it, that relationships needed to involve like tests and obstacles and jealousy, and you need to fight for me, and you need to be,
to have problems.
I just, because of the TV shows I watched and the books I read and things that I've witnessed both in my personal family life and on in media, to me, a relationship couldn't be boring. It couldn't be stable. It couldn't be blasé. It had to be fireworks and explosives and difficulties and challenges and jealousy, and yes, I'm a dramatic person, so it makes sense that I'm attracted to that type of thing. So it's been hard for me to grapple with sort of letting go of that idea as I've gotten older and realized that that's not really the ideal relationship.
Yeah.
And I know you feel like you have both with your partner. You have that trust, but you also have that spark and that romance.
Absolutely. I feel very, very fortunate for my relationship. But that being said, I 100% can identify as my first, like, boyfriend ever. It was 100% a very toxic relationship. But I never noticed or realized until afterwards and years later, when I was then in a healthy relationship, I was like, oh my gosh. And all the signs were there. But sometimes you just have no idea when you're mm-hmm. in the middle of it and you can't see clearly. For example, but also toxic, I guess it means different things to different people.
Yeah, like everybody's red flags are different.
Exactly.
And everybody's idea. And I think it's all about intention. I think some people do get pleasure out of maybe whatever, like playing the field or doing this or doing that. Like, maybe some people are going into it. With me, it's serious intentions. Like, I want to make something work. Therefore, I feel like I have to do A, B, and C, which is not pleasant for the other person. But for me, it feels like something like a ritual that I need to complete before I can open myself to them. It's where I think there are some people who are just like walking red flags.
Yeah, yeah.
Like people who are homophobic or violent or things like that are really harder to reconcile with mm-hmm. than just somebody who, Carlos the other day was like, you interrupt everyone, that's a red flag. I'm like, okay, but to me, I don't really see that as that much of a red flag, mm-hmm. but for someone, maybe it is. So what's some red that's flags true. For you?
So again, only speaking from like my toxic relationship that I had, what would have been the red flags? I can't really remember. I'd have to come back on that. I can't remember. Hold on, but we'll cut this part out. But what was I saying before you cut cut me off.
Fuck off. I don't know.
Because I was going to say what the toxic parts of my relationship were. But then you're like, red flag. I'm like,
Well, to me,
I'm thinking of any right now.
Isn't red flag okay? But the real discussion then is toxicity and red flags like kind of, because to me it's like kind of the same thing.
Because there's red flags, but then no, because I didn't have any red flags, but it was toxic, but I didn't realize.
But doesn't the toxicity come from people showing their red flags to an extent? Like I think toxicity probably comes from someone being too jealous, someone being too controlling,
yeah,
someone being,
which was all,
which
those
are
things,
all red flags. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess. Okay, you're right. Okay, so sorry, I'll get back to that. Okay.
So my interruption was warranted. No, I apologize. I'm the worst.
No, I'm just a slow thinker. I just need,
you're like mango.
Yes.
You need to like slap me every time I interrupt. Like I'm so bad. I do it at work too. Someone's literally halfway through the sentence like, yeah, so like, why can't two people talk at the same time? I don't understand.
I love it. Okay, so the red flags were, he at the beginning would be like, oh, like I don't like it when you wear your hair that way.
Oh, red flag.
I know, such a red flag, but I was young, this is high school. I had no idea that mm-hmm. that was a red flag. So I honestly just listened like, oh, like, okay, you don't like my hair that way? No problem. Like, I won't wear my hair that way. And then another thing, like, oh, he literally said this, which is so random. He's like, I hate when girls wear polos. I had so many polos. That was really in, like, cool. Abercrombie polos,
yeah.
Lacoste polos when we were in high school. I freaking never wore my polos. I loved them because he, for some reason. So, again, another red flag, would just get, like, super mad when I was hanging out with my friends over him. Mm-hmm. Another red flag. So it just became the most toxic relationship ever because since I was, following the rules of, like, okay, I won't wear my hair that way. I won't do my makeup that way. I won't wear my clothes this way. I'll come to your beck and call, like, mm-hmm. when I'm with my friends and you're jealous. So then, after a long time of dating and just dealing with that toxicity, it then eventually you turn into a toxic person too.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, okay, you know what? You give me all these rules, I'm going to give you these rules back. I don't like it when you wear your hair that way. I don't like it when you dress that
yes.
way. La, la, la. And you're just in a vicious cycle. And Nick, your brother,
hey,
my BFF, hey, Nick, he totally made me realize one day that it was an issue because I think I either told him, like, that my boyfriend didn't like when I wore something or that I didn't like the way, like, he was dressed, and Nick was like, what are you, like, the perfect soul that he is, he was like, what are you talking about, like, if I was, like, with my boyfriend, like, I wouldn't care what they wore, like, I would just love them, like, even if they were walking down the street in a tutu, and I was thinking, like, that's how I feel about my friends, like, that's the unconditional love I have for them, I would gladly parade them, like, down the street so proudly, no matter what they're wearing, because I'm just so proud of them. Why am I not this proud of this partner? And then thankfully we broke up.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can, like, one red flag that I just distinctly remember from this guy I briefly dated in university. Well, there was multiple things. He kept trying to, like, pressure me to have sex, and I wasn't ready to have sex and things like that, which is kind of a red flag anyway. But
Yes. Yeah.
I remember he was from Toronto, and I love Torontonians, but some of them, specifically the ones that go to Queens, some of them think that they are born blessed because they were born in Toronto and that Toronto is the pinnacle of everything in the world. And he was one of those people who's just, okay, like, you know, the 416,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So he would kind of look at Kingstonians like, oh, you poor peasant people, like, which I was one of them. I was like a townie technically, but anyway, so I just remember on one of our first dates, he just sort of said, yeah, I have no interest in traveling outside of Ontario. Like, I don't know. Like, why would I want to?
Okay, I swear I met this guy.
Sam.
Oh. Yeah.
He'll never listen to this. Yes,
like, he's tall. He's so tall. He's cute.
He was a cute guy.
Yeah, and we had, like, I seriously met him. That is so funny.
Yeah, we had, like, great... We had great times. It was fine, but it was like...
He was very full of himself.
Oh, but so am I. So that's why it didn't work. Whenever I think about someone, like, I met my match with him, but not in the right way, because mm-hmm. we both had the same flaws to the extent we were both, like, we're both quite egotistical. We're both quite talented to an extent, but not afraid to talk about it and show it off. Like, we would always one-up each other. I'm like, well, I did this project today. He's like, oh, well, I did this. And I'm like, oh, well, I did this. He's like, I did this. It was this weird competitive energy, and I saw a lot of myself in him, which was like a bit of a turnoff. And anyway, but yeah, but that's one difference we had. I love traveling. I've traveled a lot for my age. And when he said that, I was like, really? You really think that there's not anything in the world you want to, like, to me, if someone never, ever wants to leave their home, that's a bit of a red flag. Like, it's just, there's so much culture and people and food and music and so much to experience in the world, and you're content to just miss out on all of that. And I get it. Traveling is scary for people, but to not even leave Ontario, I mean, what? So that was a red flag.
But for someone, that would be a dream come true, too.
Exactly. And it's so personal. But yeah. I do think there are pretty standard red flags, like mm-hmm. someone who's racist, someone who is abusive.
Yeah. But also just truly having different goals than you in the future. If someone says they really, really don't want to have kids and you do want to have kids.
But is that a red flag, or is that just a difference of opinion?
No, that is a red flag. If you want to have a future with this person and they're making it clear that they truly have different end game goals, that doesn't make them a bad person, but that it's like a personalized red flag.
That's like a red flag for the relationship more so than for a person, to me.
That's true. Yeah, for, like, the relationship.
Because sometimes relationships.
Isn't this about relationships today or no?
Well, she said, what are red flags for people? Like, if you're going to go on dates with people, what are things
still,
where you're like...
You're going on a date with someone to potentially have absolutely. A relationship.
So that is a red flag. I just don't want people to think, like, well, I don't want kids, so does that make me... Is that make me a red flag? Where it's like,
for
no.
For certain people, yes.
No, Amanda, you don't understand. Okay. We are both just
we'll
on different...
We'll agree to disagree.
Well, yeah, we're on different radars with this. Anyway.
You're just saying, like, overall red flags of human existence.
Yes, like, things to stay away from. Like, if you, fucking walk... Do you know who, like yeah. I think of... You never want to introduce your friend... your new boyfriend to your friends and have everyone be like,
for sure.
And sometimes that happens. So I want to talk next, because I feel like we need to move on, because we're getting heated up in here, is talk about how to get over someone who you're hung up on.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about how to start fresh on a new date with a new person. And that can be like a more optimistic roundup.
I like that. Okay.
Because that's really, so I'll just quickly say, I had my very first heartbreak when I was 21, and I was a late bloomer in life. Like, he was my first boyfriend, he was my first love and everything, and literally to this day, I'm still recovering from that heartbreak, and that's sad but true. Like, I'm still, there was no closure, I never saw him again, he...
Well, you were expecting to get back together.
Yes, I was. And I literally moved to a different country with the hopes of seeing him again and getting back with him. And it's a long story. Maybe we'll get into that a different time. But anyway, he destroyed my whole vision of what love is. And it's just one of those things. You're like, convince yourself that you found the one. But then what do you do when that person's like, hey, I'm not your one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where you got that idea, but I don't feel that way. And it just, it's so trippy, because you're like, wait, but everybody tells you when you get that feeling that you've met the one, that that's it. And there's no questions and there's no. And so for me, I was like, wait, how could I have been so wrong? And so
for a long time, though, you held on. You're like, I'm not wrong.
Absolutely. And like,
he's still the one.
Oh, I know, for years. And I, no exaggeration, like 2.5 years of my life were fully sabotaged by myself mm-hmm. sabotaging my own other chances at meeting other people. But I'm not mad at myself about that, because that was just the process for me. And people were getting so frustrated with me, like, get over this guy. And he was still in my life, which I think is probably a tip that I would give to get over someone, is as hard as it is, like, just cut them off.
You have to remove them from your life.
You have to. You have to block them. You have to block
their number. If you're reminded of them, and especially reminded of the good parts about them.
Yes.
Which people normally only share good parts on social media.
Yeah, and people romanticize. Exactly. Like, you know, it's so easy to look back on former partners and former relationships with rose-colored glasses. And that was basically what I was doing. And it was just, like, crazy. Because my first love and first experience happened overseas, isolated from all my friends and family and my normalcy. So moving back to Canada without him, it almost felt like that relationship was a dream. Like, it was a mirage. It didn't really happen because nobody had met us. Like, nobody in my life in Canada had experienced what we had. And then he... So it just felt like I'd made it all up almost, which I knew I didn't. So I think I held on to it even harder, trying to understand that. Anyway, it's a long story, but it's okay. All this to say, it's okay to take years to get over somebody. It's not pleasant. It's not ideal, but sometimes that's the way it is. Okay. Like, sometimes you just can't get over somebody no matter how hard you try, but there are ways to help yourself and to take steps forward. And eventually, I think it does get easier. Time heals all wounds to an extent. I do honestly, do you believe in closure or no?
Yes and no. I think it's nice in some ways, but I think people can accept, should accept if they don't get it.
Yeah.
You can give yourself closure. I do.
I agree.
Think you can.
Yeah. I do think it's extremely helpful to mm-hmm. get it from that person or to give closure to someone if they're asking for it. That was one thing I struggled with this particular partner, is never getting that. I don't felt like I ever got proper closure. So if you can give closure to somebody who is maybe asking for it or who's struggling, even if it means you have to be brutally honest with them, like, look, I just don't feel like you're my person, just say it. Like, it's going to hurt them for a bit, but then it's going to be beneficial to them in the long run because they're not going to be going back asking, what did I do? How can I fix this? How can I redirect? Just being honest instead of skating around things and trying to keep people happy, because then that prolongs people's feelings. And
also, when you say, like, it's okay for it to take a few years, which of course it is okay, but someone who's in the middle of hoping to get over someone and they hear, it's okay, it's just going to take a couple years, it's fine.
I'm just trying to be honest,
that
y'all.
That might be, like, very discouraging to hear, but I know just because I was with you just in our lives through the years that you were getting over your first heartbreak, there's, even if it took some years, like, there's way better months too. It's not like every single day years you're crying, missing.
No.
Like, sure, yeah, you can say, like, it took a few years and then I just gave myself the closure.
Oh, I just... Yeah, you have no choice, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you move on, you recognize that if things were meant to have worked, they would have worked. I truly can say with that particular situation, and honestly with all of my past relationships, I gave it 120%. That is who I am. I'm a Taurus. I'm a loyal bitch. Like, I gave my whole heart, my whole body, my whole everything to all of these men, and I have no regrets. It's honestly just like, it just circumstantially, time, space, age, nothing aligned. And that was all apparently meant to be, you know, that's what I believe. But I think that's part of it, is just accepting. I did what I could. I said what I could. I'm just trying to, I suppose, because I know the person who wrote in, Christine, she's like me, like, she gives her whole heart to people. And if that's the case, like, if you actually let down all your walls and gave, it is pretty impossible to just, like, erase them from your psyche after a few months, because at least in my world, if a relationship is already dead when you cut it off, because that happens, right? Those couples who have been, like, more or less roommates for 2 years and then they go separate ways, you've already kind of made peace with the fact that you're not going to have a future with this person before you even go separate ways. It's like you slowly shut down the relationship, which is kind of, I feel like, how it was for you anyway, for your first
Absolutely.
Boyfriend.
Yeah.
Whereas if a breakup kind of comes out of nowhere, or if it's not reciprocated or whatever, I do think that takes longer. But it doesn't help to be stalking them on social media, to be messaging them, to be Snapchatting them. Cut that shit off. Like, I'm sorry, I hate to say it, but I started making way more progress when I finally blocked this person, and it was so hard, but I did it. And that's really when things started to change for me.
Yeah, well, you have to help yourself heal.
Yeah, but I think some people don't want to heal because that means I have to fully let them go.
Exactly, because then you're giving up on that hope.
Yeah. So block them. Do you know what I did with two of my ex-lovers? Not one, because, well, anyway. I wrote them love letters, goodbye.
And never gave it to them?
No, I gave them to
them. Oh, my God!
Oh, girl, you know me. Please. I was like, you're going to be remembering me the rest of your life. You're going to be reading this letter and crying and ruining the day that you fucked me over. No, I'm kidding.
This is so actually, I've gotten that letter.
Yes, I sent it to everyone.
One. No.
Oh, I did send mine to everyone. I'm like, read this.
That's so funny. No, like, I've been on the receiving end of a letter like that. Again, because I was thinking about it for a long time, like, okay, this person is honestly bringing me down more than they're bringing me up. And it did help for me, at least, that we were going to university in different cities so we could have some long distance so I didn't have to worry about bumping into them ever. But so again, I had my own time to just accept it was over. So for them, I'm sure they were a little blindsided. And so if you are the heartbreaker, which I was, I liked to do them a favor. And so they messaged me for even a year. And I, for 1 year, never answered. Well, I actually never, ever, ever answered again. But from his point of view, it's like, this is the biggest biatch on planet Earth. Like, I gave her my heart, my soul, and like, cried out to her for like a year afterwards, and she never even gave me the time of day.
Ugh.
But in my mind, I'm like, if I was selfish to just get your attention,
I know, it's
then
so
I
hard.
Would answer. But I'm like, this is so again, from his point of view, it's like, you are an evil person. Like,
I know.
You just cut me out for the rest of your life. But how much worse would it have been if I was like, hey, just even that?
It's true.
Just even that.
I
like
know.
That, it. To me, that's even more selfish.
It's so hard. Cause
and,
like,
and I also then got a letter because I didn't answer for a whole year. And then I got a handwritten letter like you.
So for me, it wasn't that I was just getting bleak responses. Sometimes I was, and I should have taken the hint. But I was getting full-blown, like, I miss you. I still think about you. This song reminds me of you. I was getting hooks that were trying to, like, sink me, you know, like, yeah. Let's see if she's still into me. Let's see if she's still into me. And I was very much unabashed. Like, I was like, I fucking love you. Like, I would tell him every day. And he was
like, that blows my mind. Like, unless your intention is to hopefully make things work again, like, why would you torment someone like that?
Exactly. And so that's what I always just, I think, have wanted closure on, which
is fair.
Did you actually miss me? That whole year and a half that we were talking, did you actually think about me, or were you just playing games? Because if it's the latter, fine. I just would kind of like to know so I can just move on with my life. But if it's the former, then that, like, in some ways brings a little bit of validity to what I felt, because it's like, okay, at least it kind of went both ways. I was struggling to move on. He was struggling to move on. Eventually, he just, like, cut me off and I cut him off. But I did at one point send a letter. And it was something. And I'm still quite proud of that letter. Actually, now that I think of it, the second letter I wrote to my second partner didn't send, because he was destroyed. Like, I destroyed him accidentally. I'm going to have to cut out all these names. I keep dropping names. I destroyed him accidentally. I was not over my first ex. And we'll talk about that in the next section, how to transition from one partner to the next. Whereas the first letter, I did send it, and
that's awesome.
I don't even know what he would have thought. He probably would have said, this bitch is crazy.
Did you know his address?
No, I sent it like an electronic letter, like an email. Okay. I like typed it out.
I literally got a written email.
Oh, I mean, I would have loved to have sent it to him. He was on a different continent though, and I had no idea what his address was. But yeah. Like, we were still FaceTiming and stuff. It was like, it was the whole thing. We'll stay friends. We'll stay in contact. You should
have written a handwritten letter and then just scanned it.
Yes, I should have. But if you're listening, give me closure. Yeah. Please.
oh God.
Okay, so how you have a better sense of healthy relationships than I do. I struggle with this, but how can you move on healthily, is that a word? From one person to another?
I think a lot of people. Mango is just crying in my living room. Sorry, excuse me.
Carlos is probably riling up.
Yes. I think a lot of like, rightfully so, when people are heartbroken, they don't want to start dating until they're completely over the person. But as we just talked about, this can take a very long time. And I do think there's nothing wrong with going and meeting people.
No.
And going on dates, even if you don't have the intention at the time for them to be your next longtime partner or mm-hmm. soulmate. But it's just super important to go and meet people and just see that if someone broke your heart and they're toxic, that's not the rule. Sometimes that's the exception.
Very good, Amanda. Oh. That was like Aristotle.
Thank you.
I'm not even kidding. That was really deep.
Thank you. I'm all bashful now. But yeah, like... So yeah, there. Even if your heart is broken, there's great people out there and you can just meet them. And again, not for them to be your soulmate, but just to see, like, there are great people out there.
The world keeps turning.
I know everyone's heard it a million times. There's other fish in the sea, la la la. But there is. And also... like Adele's song, like, never mind, someone like you. That's, don't do that. That's really hard. If you're like, okay, this person broke my heart, I'll find someone exactly like that.
Or don't, sorry, I interrupted you, but I just need to piggyback off that.
Yeah, please do.
Don't try to find someone, like, don't make that person the be-all, end-all standard, which is what I did. Every person I dated, even if it was just a casual date, I was like, well, you're not him. Like, mm-hmm. you don't give me the same feelings as him. You don't speak the same way as him. And then I'd cut them off because it was like, you're not him, which is like the only, it's a losing game, right? Like, you're,
for sure.
Every single person's different. You never expect your best friends to all be the same. You never expect your siblings to all be the same.
You have to love them for how they are.
Yeah. So just appreciate that each person has their pros and their cons and go into things with no pressure. Like, you are a human being. I'd like to know what you have to say. I'd like to know what your quirks are, and maybe I can teach you something and you can teach me something. And if it blossoms into something romantic, great. But just literally go into it with, like, we are both human beings and we can enjoy each other's company. And that's it. Like, that takes all the pressure off of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But
and also just don't let, if it was actually toxic, try to get their horrible things that they've said, like, just out of your head. For example, when I got out of my toxic relationship, I remember, this is, I think, the last thing he said to me or the last thing he wrote to me, one or the other. He said, he's like, blah, blah, like, have a good life, whatever. I just want you to know you will never find someone on this planet who treats you as good as I do. And I truly believed him. I was like, you know what? You're right. I will find someone I love more and I have more fun with and I appreciate more. But you're right. I won't find someone who treats me as well as you did. And I told one of my best friends, Andrea, that. And she was like, you are insane. Like, don't listen to that. That is just, again, a toxic behavior.
That is me. Literally, all of my exes, I'm like, I'm going to be the one that got away. Yeah. You just wait. You're going to be crawling back in 3 years, knocking on my door, saying that you have not been able to sleep one night without thinking about me.
So maybe that, like, resonates in their brain, but it did in my brain. I believed him. until someone just smacked me in the face, was like, you're an idiot. This is wrong. Do not listen to someone.
And I agree with that. It's toxic. I think every girl kind of needs that little boost to an extent, like to just be like, I'm hot shit. He had it good, or she had it good, whatever. We shouldn't be gender stereotyping or whatever. But like, I can get anyone I want if I want. It's up to me to choose who belongs in my life. And it's up to me to hold my head high. Like, don't, like, my first breakup stripped away all of my self-confidence, all of my self-awareness. I felt completely lost, that I didn't know myself. I didn't know what love was. I got it all wrong. And try your best. I was young, and that was my first heartbreak, and the first cut is the deepest, but try not to completely lose yourself. Because then not only do you have to rebuild your romantic life, but you have to just rebuild everything.
For sure.
You know, so try to just hype yourself up and let your friends hype you up. Your friends are going to be sending you messages like, you're so gorgeous, you're so this. And just accept those messages and it's be true. Like, because sometimes you need to be inflated a little bit by the people around you.
100%. And you should inflate yourself because.
Yes.
You, for example, you were like, I'm never going to find someone like blah.
Yeah.
And then until you changed that point of view, then you finally found someone better. So it's the same. If you just go into the dating game again, like, no one will ever be as good as my ex, then fine. No one is ever going to be as good as your ex. But what a sad life.
But was your ex really that good?
No, not mine.
No, I'm just talking, like, people should ask themselves that question, like, was your ex really all that, or was he just convenient? You know, was he just there? Like, I just think it's so funny. People always joke about how the bar for men is so low. Like, it's like, oh my God, he picked me up from work today. And people are like, oh my God, he's like Romeo. Oh my gosh. And, but like, I feel like
feel that way.
Girls like do that stuff all the time.
I roll my eyes and like, but this impresses you.
Oh, I know, but I am guilty of that. No, I am guilty of that. And sometimes I'm like, he listened to what I said. Oh my God. Or like,
he cooked me a meal.
Oh, I know.
It's like, oh my.
But men
literally. Standards, people.
Men literally look like they do one thing, like they compliment your hair and they look at you like a little kid who just submitted his drawing and wants a gold sticker. Like, literally men look at you with wide eyes like, do you see what I did there?
Yeah.
I did a good thing. And you're like, do you want a hug? Like, what's, and like, they're like, it's just so, I was like off Ted Lasso. I think they said something like men, I can't remember what the quote was, but it was something about how men think they deserve a gold sticker for treating you like a human. Yeah. I think it was off Ted Lasso, or maybe it was off of The Morning Show, whatever. But that quote stuck with me, and I was like, oh my God, Amanda, that's so true. Men literally, and no hate men, but like sometimes you do something very basic.
We
like,
still love you.
You'll like do the dishes, and then you'll like walk into the room, like saunter and be like,
I did something.
I did something good today for you, baby, because I love you so much. And you're just like, okay. Like,
I do that every day.
But I feel like women are like, good job, because we're just like givers and we're just take care of people. So you're like, good job. But yeah, so men, let's like do more. Let's go back to those chivalrous ways where we swept women off their feet. Like, I feel like a lot of guys don't want to come across as desperate or like, but if a guy straight up texts me, like, I can't stop thinking about you. I need to see you as soon as possible. Like, let me take you out. Oh my God. Like, clean up on aisle five. Like, I am like, damn, yeah, it's like the guys who are elusive and playing games, or girls, like, this could go either way. It's like, that's when you start getting stressed and you start questioning things and getting nervous. That's become the norm of what's sexy and what's appealing, is to feel that way. And I think that's what I struggle with in my head, is still, like, I feel very safe in my relationship. I feel very calm in my relationship.
Every single relationship on this planet.
I know.
It needs attention and care,
compromise, sacrifice, communication. Relationships are hard work, and my relationship has been put to the test since we moved out here. We drove across the country. Been a huge growth experience, and that's what relationships are supposed to be for, and that's what dating is for, and that's what being single is for. Everything is just for the purpose of growing and learning about yourself and learning about life and learning about sex and learning about love. Everyone's just, it's all the pursuit of knowledge and wisdom. So just take everything, even if it's a heartbreak, and pour it into a song you're writing, or pour it into
just grow from it,
or anything, or just say, this hurts, but this will make me stronger, or this will make me wiser, or this will make me more compassionate towards other people. Because the more you experience, the more you'll feel compassion for other people who are experiencing that. And there's nothing worse than someone who's like ignorant to other people's pain and suffering.
Or thinks they're the only one who feels pain.
Yeah.
Or who has had a heartbreak.
My shout out is just to the girls out there and the guys out there and the non-binaries out there who are currently having a hard time getting over someone. Just know that you're not alone and you're not crazy. And the longer it takes to get over someone, that's just a testament to how big your heart is and how capable you are of loving deeply. And that's never anything to be ashamed about. That's something you should actually be proud of, even though it sucks when that gets broken. But I still maintain that it's better to have loved hard than to not be able to give yourself to anybody.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. So now true. I'm Aristotle.
Yes, you are.
Shakespeare.
We both are. Look at us.
What's your final word of advice?
Well, you really said it all. I don't even know how I can add to that. No, I, of course, agree with all that. And what is my best word of advice if you're feeling heartbroken?
Well, her and her boyfriend's relationship is actually goals. So listen up, people.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
They are really a very wonderful, they're a great example of a non-codependent, healthy, loving, respectful relationship.
Thank you, Sarah. And I know everyone on this planet can have one of those. I'm like, okay, I'm nothing special. So if I did it, anyone can do it. Know that, when you're heartbroken, it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people will spiral down to that, and most people are depressed when...
Yeah, it's like a death.
It's a death in every single way. We've talked about that before, but it's just even worse than a death because you lost that person, and in your mind, maybe you're like, well, I could still have them.
Oh, yeah, it's awful. Because they're still out there, but you can't have them.
Yeah, it's a very, very painful death. So just know, if someone breaks your heart, it doesn't mean you are in any way lesser than. It just means you can thank them because it means you weren't meant to be. So thank them for not wasting more of your time and just allowing you to find the person that is for you. And you will find them, but you just have to know that you will, and you also have to want it. You have to want to move on from that person.
And you have to want good things for yourself. And there's so many soulmates out there, I believe.
Agreed.
I got caught. That's one thing that prolonged my suffering was just that idea of he is my soulmate. He is the one. And
you're like, okay, you know what? He was one of the many. Yeah.
He was, and I read a lot of Buddhist literature and stuff after my first breakup to try to find some clarity. And that was one very adamant principle, was that don't get caught up in the idea of belonging to one person or fitting exactly with one person, because that person could die or that person could break up with you.
Terrifying.
And I mean, I hate to say that, but like, don't you want to live with the hope that there's other people who will also bring you fulfillment and also bring you joy? It's too much pressure to put on one person to say, you are my perfect pair.
True.
Like, it's a nice idea in theory, but it's really like people.
Well, it's scary. Like you said, what if something happens?
And like Amanda just said, if you got broken up with, or if you didn't feel the right feelings with someone and you broke up with them, you are in no way inadequate or wrong. We are literally all out here just making our way through life.
Just for the fun of it.
We are just,
I don't even know why we're here.
Yeah, we're just like literally bouncing through life, trying to make the right decisions for ourselves. And human beings are inherently selfish creatures. We are looking out for number one at the end of the day. And that's not a bad thing. It's just the truth. And once you accept that, like, okay, that person, let's say his name is Greg. Greg is a little lost. Greg is on his own journey. And Greg does not have the capability to involve me in that journey right now. That's Greg's choice.
I have to now look out for me.
And it's obviously way more complicated when abuse is involved, cheating's involved, all of that.
And finances.
Yeah. So, but just try to respect people's journeys. Because I know me, I want people to respect when I'm having a bad day or when I say the wrong thing or when I, because like I said, I have some toxic traits, but it comes from a place of fear and panic. And I really respect when my partner has patience for me and like sits me down and talks me through it versus just being like, well, fuck you then, on to the next person. Because everybody's going to disappoint you. It's just a matter of finding who's worth suffering for and who's worth, you know, your children are going to disappoint you. Your parents are going to disappoint you. Some people are worth the fight. Some people aren't. And that's up to you to decide. But if you give up on everybody when they piss you off or when they say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing, then you're going to be alone.
Yeah, you're going to have no one.
So that's my final say.
That was a good one.
And yeah, I've definitely struggled with this stuff a lot. I'm a lover for sure, but I also can be a fighter. And
you're definitely a lover and a fighter.
Yeah,
you're a big time both.
Which, yeah.
I'm just a lover.
It's true.
You're one like fight. I'm like crying for a month straight. Like it's too much for me.
Yeah. No. I just
love over here.
I have a little bit of a sharper side for sure. But if people really get to know me, they will see that I am a soft, delicate flower. I can kill you with my words if I want to. Like
just
I can
a feisty flower.
Oh, I can rip you to shreds. My mom used to always say, Sarah, you can catch more flies with honey than with vinegar. But she would just say, like, your words are so mean. Like, you're so nasty. And I'm like, but it's fun. Like, I've always had a bit of a quick wit with my words and stuff.
You're funny.
I'm a fighter more so with my words and with my wit than with, like, I'm not an actual fighter by any means. But
see, I would punch someone out, no problem, even though I'm a lover.
That makes us different. Yeah. No, I will destroy you verbally, so you'll never be able to look at yourself the same way. So if you break
my
heart,
watch out.
That's what you have to look forward to. Yeah, so basically I guess that's it. I hope we helped. We went on a few little tangents there, but I think we gave some good advice. I actually do.
Yeah. Your advice is really, really good.
So was yours.
Thank you.
I'm sorry I interrupted. I'm just going to apologize now preemptively. I'm sorry I interrupted you a few times.
It's okay. It's the drill.
I'm going to have
to. I know the drill.
That's my red flag. Ooh, also, just a fun idea. My friend Opal just had a party the other day. I didn't make it because I'm a grandma and it was too late for me, but it was a red flag party, so everyone had to wear red.
Oh, that's so funny.
And you had to write what your red flag is on your shirt, but not not in the sense of, oh, I'm dating Amanda and I think Amanda's red flag is this. It's like my red flag, Sarah's red flag.
So, what would you say my red flag is? Give me my red flag.
Oh, mommy issues.
Yeah, I was wondering if you'd say that. Well, mommy and daddy issues. Yeah. Baggage.
Yeah, but you've worked through your baggage very well.
Baggage is my red flag.
Yeah, because that's, or I would just, or even, you really don't have many.
That's
for
the
some
one.
For some people, your red flag, not for me, would be how healthy you are. Because for some people, they can't live up to that. They can't relate to it.
But that would be a red flag for me in reverse.
Exactly.
If someone was unhealthy, I wouldn't want to be with them.
Oh, totally.
I'm like, listen, you bet your ass we're going to the gym 7 days a week if you don't like
that. I know. And I know a lot of people, though, who would be like, I can't date someone who's going to the gym 7 days a week because I can't live up to that.
Yeah.
What would my red flag be? Try to pick one out of the thousands. I was saying to Carlos when we were, like, discussing, I was like, so one could be still talks to my ex-boyfriends.
That's a good one.
I'd be like, one could be self-sabotages. One could be like picks fights out of nowhere.
Raging PMS.
Raging PMS. Anxiety disorder, eating disorder, all these things. He's like,
crack me up.
Oh, I have so many red flags, but I still think that.
You own it.
I still think I'm a diamond in the rough.
You are.
I just like. The mining zone is very dangerous, so there's red flags posted around the diamond zone.
Everyone has most of those red flags. You're just honest.
I'm just honest about it, y'all. Oh, I know. I still think I'm a catch. Don't get me wrong. And my boyfriend has some red flags too, don't get me wrong. But I think when you truly just get to like know and love someone, and we fell in love over the quarantine, like over COVID. So I think that gave us like a weird amount of time and patience to actually like truly get to know each other instead of just making presumptions on the first date. Like, oh, he said this, I don't like it. Red flag. So I was noticing kind of these little red flags, and he was noticing them in me, but we were like not panicking necessarily because we were just taking it slow and getting to know each other. And then like the more you love someone as a human being, the less of a big deal those things seem. Like it just, it's part of what makes you, you. Like,
exactly.
It was like, oh, it drives me crazy when he does that, but you know, that's just him and I love him type thing, which I think is what a healthy relationship is, whether that be a friendship, a family member, whatever. It's just like loving someone for who they are, flaws and all. That doesn't mean enabling their potentially harmful behavior or whatever. Like, you need to have healthy boundaries. But like I said, if you're going to cut someone off every time that they upset you or piss you off, then you're going to
be a very lonely life.
You're going to be standing out there with your own red flag.
Yeah.
And there's
so going to
be no red flags in sight. Like, we all have them. Let's just wear them proudly. And you should host for your birthday party or something.
That you is should host such a red funny flag idea. Party.
Because then if you're all single, like for us, it doesn't really make that much sense. But for single people going to this party, it's kind of hilarious because it's a conversation opener. But you're also getting an idea of like what this person's red flag is. So you're not like totally blindsided. If the person's red flag is like horrible texter.
Yes!
At least
there
you know that.
You know, yeah.
I think it's brilliant. I think people.
No, it is. I'm obsessed.
I think people should just be more transparent. That's so funny. Just be honest. And like, hopefully if that person's mature enough, they'll respect the honesty. As long as you're not saying like, oh, like I kill the neighborhood animals and eat them for dinner. Run, like if that's someone's honest,
yeah, that's not even a red flag.
Like, no, that's like a killer. So
yeah,
you know, you have to have boundaries with what you can accept. But I think if a guy came up to me and he's like, yeah, I've just been like struggling a bit lately with my anxiety, like I'm trying to do some meditation, I'd be like, clean up on aisle five.
Yeah,
like thank you for talking
you can
openly
that. It's
I
true.
Think you can. It's just about, you don't have to reveal too much.
Well, the thing is truly no one's perfect. Everyone on planet Earth has their stuff.
I know.
So, yeah, you might as well find out right away if you can handle that stuff or if you can't.
Yeah.
And
that's my opinion. Yeah. A lot of people would disagree with me that you should play the long game and all this, but I've always put myself right out there, and I swear it makes them fall in love with you even harder because it's just...
Look, they get to know the real you.
Yeah, and people can usually tell right away if you're not being authentic, if you're holding a bunch of stuff back. And it's pretty alluring to meet somebody who's just like, here I am, this is me. It's pretty awesome when people are like that. So that's my two cents.
You're pretty awesome.
So are you. You're the awesomest. Again, if I was a woman,
this is also
I would marry
a relationship
you.
Goals.
I know.
Kind of relationship.
Oh, for sure. We love each other
very
up.
Very loving and supportive. But we call each other
we
out.
We call each other out. We love each other up and we call each other out and we help each other when we need it. And that's really what you need in life.
It's true.
You don't need a boyfriend when you have a best friend or you have a sister or you have a brother. Like,
and a dog.
Oh,
all
yeah.
those things.
Oh, the dog.
Yeah.
I have a big announcement next week.
Yes,
guys.
We do.
So I guess we should wrap it up. We've been going for a while.
Yeah,
but this was a great
though.
One. Yeah.
Thank you.
Why don't you do
and
the
thank
little...
you, Christine.
Yes, thank you, Christine.
So if anyone else has a topic they want to talk about, let us know.
Yeah, DM us. That's
we'll
really the only
it.
Option or DM me on my personal account, Sarah Birch, Sarah with an H, Birch with a T.
You can also follow our mascot Mango, who might be having a mascot join him. Who knows? Mango.the.golden.boy.
I apologize for your eardrums, guys. It's an involuntary reaction.
I bet they have no idea what the surprise is.
I know.
We've really covered it.
We've really covered it really well. Yes, surprise coming next week. We didn't give you a lot to go off of, so we'll see how you do with that. You can guess if you'd like. And I love you, and thank you for listening, and thank you again, Christine, for writing in and being vulnerable with us. And please, if you have any questions, concerns, queries, compliments, send them our way. We will gladly take them. And you can follow us at 20.somethings.podcast on Instagram. Rate and review this podcast and subscribe to us by clicking the plus button on Apple Podcasts. And share with a friend because we're just trying to get out there and spread our light to more people, hopefully.
That was great, Sarah. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
I'm getting too good at this, honestly.